Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Lahore. Lahore is much of the former law school of Isabel, Missouri, and the Lahore is an educational service and public interest. I'm your host, George Martin. Now, the Lahore, an editorial review, is heard nationally, 7 days a week here in the United States, and in more than 75 countries around the world over the internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on code pleading, the Book of Revelation, when we come back. You know, Charles Lyell was one of the pillars of modern geology, and he published his Principles of Geology back in the early 1800s. Lyell's concepts are so widely accepted today that most people who believe them don't even know who it was that originated them. But it's from Lyell's system of reasoning that a doctrine of origins was devised by simply projecting all of the natural processes that we observe today back through time indefinitely. And in that way, catastrophes like Noah's flood have been strictly ruled out. And this process now is called science. Well, listen to this. Here's some science for you. A headline says, "The sun is shrinking." That's a Newswire report. You read things like that, you know, in your Sunday edition of the newspaper. And it went on to say that the sun's diameter appears to have been decreasing by about 0.1% per century. Scientists have been watching for over 100 years now, and the evidence is now conclusive. Every hour, the sun is shrinking by about 5 feet. If the sun is shrinking 0.1% per century, then it totals 1% per millennium. If the sun existed only 100,000 years ago, it would have been double its present diameter. 20 million years ago, the surface of the sun would have been touching the Earth. And as far as researchers can tell, this rate of shrinkage has been consistent since the origin of the sun. Well, can you remember, boys and girls, what your science teachers told you about the extinction of the dinosaurs? Can you remember that? It wasn't that 65 million years ago? Well, if the dinosaurs died 65 million years ago and the sun is shrinking at the rates that they're observing today, then 20 million years ago, the sun would have been 93 million miles in diameter and it would have been touching the orbit of the Earth, and the Earth would have been incinerated long before the dinosaurs ever had a chance of dying. And there would be no Earth here today if that scenario was true. Now, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do the math on those kinds of pseudoscientific lies that come from evolutionary philosophy. And that's just one more of the many examples of evolutionary propaganda that masquerades under the banner of science. And this is one of the many lessons in our Mosaic Law School that we conduct here at the Law School in Isabella, Missouri. If you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about the Book of Revelation. The last time we took a look at Revelation 2 and 3. So far we've covered Revelation 1, 2, 3, and Revelation 20. More importantly, rather than cover each and every chapter and verse and go through a long-winded gyration of telling you what I think this means, I showed you, more importantly, that it's in code and that this code is comprehensible. And the code is given in the Bible, and you can understand it just like I do. Just like I do. And that's not because I'm so smart. That's just because I learned how to sit down, shut up, fold my hands, and do what I was told. So I followed the directions in it's Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 through 13. And then I went over here to Matthew 13, verses about 10 through 20. And I followed those directions. Then I code-pled that out, and I gave you these chapters. I'll give them to you once more, because I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 6 here, which talks about these chapter of the seals being open, because we're getting into the heavy-duty stuff now. But write these down. This is Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28. That's the whole chapter. Leviticus chapter 26, Deuteronomy 28, Daniel chapter 12, Isaiah chapter 65, and Ezekiel 37, and then Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 chapters. The Book of Revelation construes those 8 chapters, and those 8 chapters are summed up in these 22 chapters of the Book of Revelation, about a 12,000-word treatise, which is written in all these symbols and all these mysterious woes and seals and 144,000 this and one thing and another. So using this plan, this code pleading, we can understand what many of these code words mean, which then opens our understanding to the geopolitical realities of where we are in the world today, you know, in the year 2000. And 7. All right, so listen to this. He starts off here. He says, "And I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer."
That's the first seal. Now, there's as many people out there that believe what this white horse is as there are people to come up with an interpretation. Let's just test it. What do you think that white horse means? Come on, think about that. And, you know, if you're a preacher and you went to seminary, you know, and you're standing in front of your congregation or you're standing in front of the, you know, the deacons or something, you got to come up with an answer. And so you're gonna interpret it. Now, remember, we've learned in chapter 1 that the only guy that can tell you what that means is Jesus himself. He's the guy that's got the key to these seals. He's going to strip these seals off. All right. So if you'll go to Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, verse 11, and then verses 23 through 28, it'll explain to you what this white horse is all about. Now, you'll also see that in Mark 13 and Luke 21. Now, these three chapters are what we call parallel chapters. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 are three chapters called the Olivet Prophecy. Now, the reason you need all three chapters is because Matthew doesn't tell you the whole story. Mark comes along and tells you some more of the story that Matthew left out and that Luke didn't tell you. And Luke tells you some of the story that Mark and Matthew didn't tell you. And Matthew tells you some of the story that Mark and Luke didn't. And these three chapters are written that way in code so that if you're a careless, normal, everyday, garden variety Christian, you'll get through reading that and you'll say, isn't that sweet? You get all through reading these biblical passages, you know, isn't that sweet? Now, there ain't nothing sweet about it, boys and girls. Those three chapters, coupled with that first horse, that first white horse over there, ought to scare the stuffing out of you. That's heavy-duty, scary stuff. Last time we found out, if you want to avoid that heavy-duty, scary stuff, you need to follow what those Philadelphians are doing in Revelation chapter 3, the Philadelphia gang. That is practicing the Ten Commandments, and God says, I'll hide you away, I'll protect you from the Great Tribulation. But if you don't, now, I'm going to throw you into bed with the Great Tribulation. I'll throw you in bed with that whore and her daughters, if that's what you want. Now, most Americans are Christians. 95% of us claim that we're Christians. And most of us are either Catholics or Protestants. There's a few Jews here, you know. There's a few Buddhists and a few others. Most of us are Christians, claim to be. And one of these Christian operations here is called the Great Red Whore, the Great Harlot dressed in scarlet, with all these daughters, these Protestant daughters. Boy, that ought to make me a lot of friends out there in Radio Land, huh? But then, you know, boys and girls, I don't get paid by you out there in Radio Land. And I didn't come on the air now to tell you what you wanted to hear. If you want to hear those sweet things and preach deceit, you need to go to church. That preacher up there, he gets paid to preach you smooth things and to preach you deceits. He's a paid professional liar, and he is paid by you to tell you those lies that you want to hear. I don't get paid that way. So as a reporter, I come along and I say, let me tell you how to code plead this out. So as they say down at the card room, read them and weep, you know, as they deal the cards around, you know, the second round in a poker game. And then this is where we read them and weep because there's some sadness. This is geopolitical reality. This is where the great wars of the Middle East are going to ignite a conflagration worldwide that is going to terminate in a nuclear exchange, a nuclear bomb war. And hey, you just haven't got better nuclear bomb partners in war than the United States, Russia, and China. United States, Russia, and China, with nuclear-tipped missiles, fighting over the dwindling resources of the world, namely oil in the Middle East. A trillion barrels of it, by the way. All right, so there's your first seal. And you'll find that in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. More specifically, in Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, verse 11, verses 23 through 28. Now let's take a look at the second one. Verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Boys and girls, that's war. Now, you know, most people don't want to hear about war. It's not very pleasant. And George Bush is always talking about peace and the peace process and the Palestinian peace process and peace in Iraq and democracy and peace in Afghanistan and disarmament and SALT. That's what you hear from the politicians. What a bunch of crap. They're liars, frauds, and charlatans. There isn't anybody in geopolitical politics in the world today that wants peace. Nobody. George Bush, Dick Cheney, Putin, the Chinese. There's no money in peace. The money, boys and girls, is in war. And Halliburton is raking in billions every year off of the war. Now, Halliburton wants peace. The stockholders of Halliburton want peace like you want AIDS. There's no money in that. And so here's God. He comes along and says, hey, let me tell you where we're headed here. We're headed toward war. And you'll see that in Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7. And Mark and Luke both comment on the same subject. You're going to have war, boys and girls, like you have never seen war. You're going to see war that is going to defy description. If you think you've got post-traumatic war syndrome today, you ain't seen nothing yet. And it's coming to a city near you. And it's coming to the United States primarily. Now, I don't know if you Canadians are going to get any nukes up there, or you Australians, you might. I wouldn't say that Melbourne or Sydney or Ottawa or Montreal isn't going to get nuked. But it's not very likely, you know, that they're going to nuke Isabella, Missouri. You know, that's not in the cards unless they miss. You know, they launch a missile and they miss Kansas City and they drop one out here in Theodosia or down here in Barn Creek Hollow or something like that. That could happen, I suppose. In which case, I guess I'd be toast. But I'm kind of hoping that there's an angel out there going to guide those missiles to somewhere on the other side of me. And you ought to be praying every day that somebody is guarding and protecting you and sending those missiles someplace else also. Second horse over here is war. First one over here, religious deception. Second one over here is war. All right, third one. Here comes third. In verse 5, he says, And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see, and behold, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. All right, now go to Matthew 24, verse 7. Then go to Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Let me just test that one for a second here, and let me give you a little something here about famine. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, there's quite a little story here about famine. But there are some specifics about famine that ought to just scare the P1 right out of you. Did me. You know, I'm kind of an old man here, but I read this and kind of scared me. So, talks about cannibalism here in Deuteronomy 28. Now, this is a parallel to what we saw here. When we code plead out Revelation on this famine, we see it refers to famine. So where in the Bible does it talk about famine? Well, Deuteronomy 28 is one of those places. Not the only, but one of. And Deuteronomy 28 is a prophecy, dual prophecy, that applies to the end times. Now watch this. In verse 53 says, You shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, which the Eternal your God has given you in the siege and in the straitness wherewith your enemy shall distress you. So that a man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil towards his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children which she shall leave. So that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children, whom he shall eat, because he has nothing left him in the siege, and in the straitness wherewith your enemy shall distress you in all of your gates. The tender and the delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground, for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter. You know who that reminds me of? Britney Spears. I don't know why. Or that woman that just died the other day. Remember that Nicole Simpson or Nicole Smith or whatever her name was? Notice the vivid description of the modern 21st century. I mean, women today who are so soft, so dainty, so tender. Not like my granny that wore combat boots and delivered Aunt Bessie by herself up at Spy Rock in California when there was 6 feet of snow on the ground. Oh, no, not women like that. Women that have to have cesarean sections, 35% of them, because they can't deliver babies anymore. They're too weak. Women that wear high heels from Gucci or someplace, you know, that wouldn't think about walking barefoot, you know. Might step in somebody's hockey or step in somebody's spit. Verse 20 or 57, he says, And toward the young one that comes out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, because she shall eat them. That's called cannibalism. For one of all things secretly in the siege. Not openly. She'll be eating her own children. Secretly in the siege. Now, a siege is pretty plain. A siege is where you surround somebody. In the old days, you know, they used to have walled cities, and so some big army would come around, and they'd circle the city. Hey, you guys in there, you're surrounded. And the guys inside the city, you know, are all up on these big high walls with boiling oil and arrows, and they're sitting there, come and get us. And they'd have this big fight, see? And, of course, the guys inside the city have the edge on the guys that are attacking because, you know, they're dropping rocks and shooting them with arrows, and they've got some cover. You know, they're hiding behind those rock walls. And the guys that are attacking are all out in the open. And this is a siege. Now, this siege, if it goes on for a long time, the people inside the city then lose their advantage, and they begin to starve to death. That's right. They begin to starve to death. Now, the United States of America, I know somebody's going to write me an email. They're going to say, you fool, you dummy, we don't have rock walls around our cities. No, that's true. That's true, partner. But we're about to be besieged economically because, see, we got a balance of payments deficit. You've been practicing this free trade now for the last 50 or 75 years. Had your head up the wrong end of your anatomy here. And practicing free trade. And I saw a neat one the other day. Boeing aircraft, they're going to build a new airplane. And one of the commentators said, well, aren't you vulnerable to strikes and breakdowns and political unrest in the countries that are going to be making these parts? And the president of Boeing said, well, that's the risk that you run with international free trade. but we think the risk is worth it. Boys and girls, you Americans couldn't build an aircraft carrier in the United States of America anymore. You know that? You Americans can't even feed yourselves anymore. And that's because of global free trade. You see, your grapes come from Chile, your berries from Guatemala, and the anchor for that that aircraft carrier, well, that comes from USA, Japan. There is not a foundry left in America that could cast an anchor for you. You got to have them brought in from overseas. Furthermore, you probably haven't even got enough steel in this country to build an aircraft carrier. You'd have to buy it from the Chinese, who are now the world's biggest steel makers. And you got this balance of payments deficit. And because of that balance of payments deficit, you owe those other nations in the world a lot of money. Now, my common sense says to me, no, I'm not too bright here. I'm not the sharpest marble in the drawer, as they say, but my common sense says to me that there will come a time when you don't pay your bills. There will come a time when they're going to cut off delivery. Now, just tuck that one away in your heart and see if that isn't right. And when that siege develops, and when the oil exporters say, we're not sending you any more oil because you didn't pay for the last batch, and your IOUs are worthless, and two-thirds of our oil that we use in this country come from outside our borders. And then when we don't pay the Chinese for the big screen TVs and the Nike shoes, and they shut off our shoes and we're walking around barefoot, you want to remember where you heard it first. That's called a siege. Well, anyway, going back here to Deuteronomy 28. This siege and straitness wherewith your enemy shall distress you in your gates, that's Deuteronomy 28:57. If you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Eternal your God, then the Eternal will make your plagues wonderful, and the plagues of your seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. And moreover, he shall bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of, and they shall cleave unto you. And every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon you until you be destroyed. Hey, kids, that didn't bode well at all. He says, I'm going to send you diseases, you know, like muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, cancer, heart attack, stroke, and diseases that you never heard of, like Alzheimer's disease and Ebola. Hey, I never heard of Alzheimer's disease. I think the first word I heard about it was in 1978. And then we've got these various syndromes, you know, like, what's that syndrome that children get, ADHD? Yeah, that's one. And then when you give them all this mercury vaccine, they develop something there. I'll think of the name here in a minute. See, when you get to be old like I am, you know, you suffer from these very same symptoms, can't remember anymore. Alzheimer's disease. Now, tuck that one away in your heart because you heard it first from Moses. And then John came into the picture. Remember our good old friend John here back in Revelation chapter 6. And he comes in on the scene and he says, hey, listen, let me tell you a little piece of the story over here, which is called famine. Boy, that's when you're eating your own children, boys and girls, that's famine of the first degree, wouldn't you say? Now, here's one called disease epidemics. Now, I already showed you that one. Remember these diseases that we just read here in Deuteronomy 28. Now, in Revelation 7 and 8, he says this, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see, and I looked and beheld a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death and hell, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, let's think about that one. Let me read that one to you one more time. Let's mull that one over. He says, to kill with the sword, that's war, with hunger, that's famine, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. How many? The fourth part of the earth. Did you get that? The fourth part. That's 25%. Hey, kids, we haven't seen anything like that. You know, you preterists out there, you know, you're sitting there saying, hey, listen, when was the last time the fourth part of the earth was destroyed? By famine, war, and disease. When was the last time you saw that one? See, there's some of these prophecies in here that haven't happened yet. In fact, 90% of them haven't happened yet. Now, of all the prophecy that we see in the Scripture, which there's a lot of, I mean, you've got a lot of books of prophecy, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Lamentations, Daniel, the minor prophets, many chapters that Moses wrote are prophecies for the end time, prophecies, of which 90% of them haven't happened yet. They're in the process. They're starting to raise their ugly heads, but they haven't happened yet. So now we tuck that one away in our heart, you know, and all of a sudden, this Revelation chapter 6 gets to be pretty scary. Pretty scary. 6 billion people in the world, a fourth part is 1.5 billion. Boys and girls, we have never seen 1.5 billion people die in short order. That hasn't happened since Noah's flood. And remember, the Messiah said there's never been a time like it, and there'll never be a time like it again. And then there's going to be some martyrdom comes upon us over here. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I heard under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them, that they should rest yet a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now remember, we saw this a little earlier. Remember those seven churches? You know, some of you religious people out there should be thinking more seriously about keeping the Sabbath day, keeping the annual holy days. Remember what Jesus told you. He said, now, you want to repent, kids. I've got a couple things against you. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that very many people are going to do that. And I'm not here to get you to repent and give your heart to Jesus today. That's not my role in life. I'm not here to browbeat you or badger you, okay? As a reporter, you needed to know that there are cause and effect relationships going on around us out here. This war in Iraq didn't come upon us accidentally, you know. That war in Iraq was a necessary ingredient in the world's geopolitical economy. We had to have a war. We had to have a way to stimulate the economy, to keep the world from going into world depression. It's going to stave it off. It isn't going to prevent it from happening, but it's going to stave it off for a while. George Bush is doing you a favor, trying to help you. Oh, yeah, a few people have to die, but then that's the price of war. You know, that's the cause and effect relationship that you get for stimulating the economy. After all, war is the basis of our economy. Well, war and medicine. War and medicine. We want to be sick, and we want to fight. All right, so there's your four horsemen of the apocalypse. Quite a story, wouldn't you say? And it's explained in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, and in Deuteronomy 28. Now, there's more to the story. I gave you more to the story. So stand by. Let me give you a reminder here at the midway point. We'll be back with more on code-pleading the book of Revelation when we come back. Meanwhile, let me remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to the homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, I promised that I would make all the rest of you mad. Now, let's see if I've got the Jews mad at me because of Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. Now, I got all the preterists mad at me because I said that the prophecies haven't all been fulfilled. And now we need to get all the Catholics and the Protestants mad at me by reading Revelation chapter 17. This is quite a little story over here. And the whole book of Revelation is quite a little story. It's quite a little story that is actually hidden from most people until the end times. And it wasn't revealed until Daniel asked this question. Here's old Daniel. He's around, you know, Daniel is living around 530 to 540 B.C. And he's right here at the decline and the collapse of the Babylonian Empire. In fact, the Medo-Persians are going to take over during Daniel's tenure. Now, Daniel lives to be a pretty ripe old age. He's taken captive as a young man. He serves Nebuchadnezzar for many years. Nebuchadnezzar dies. His kid takes over. His kid's just about as bad as the old man. And so finally, God gets a belly full of it and sends the Persians over there and conquers the Babylonian Empire. So the Babylonians go into national captivity, and Daniel is living through all of this. He's lived through the captivity of his own country, the captivity of the Babylonians, and now he's working for the Persians. Daniel gets to be an old man. And he sees he has an angel come to him a couple of times. I mean, you know, he sees this angel come to him in the lion's den. He has this angel come to him and give him this prophecy in Daniel chapter 12. Daniel had visions, and he revealed these visions unto these world-ruling emperors and kings. And so Daniel was a pretty significant prophet. And his prophecies are coming to pass here at the second coming, or at the time of the second coming of the Messiah. And he asked Big Mike to give him the answer to the riddle. And Big Mike in Daniel chapter 12 said, no, I'm not going to tell you. He said, close up the book to the time of the end. He said, the wise shall understand, but the wicked shall not understand. All right, now all of you wicked people out there, you cannot understand this and you won't understand it. So you ought to change the radio station so that you can get some acid rock or something that's entertaining. It's a waste of your time, effort, and energy. Now there's a few more of you out there that may have a little bit of righteousness and a little bit of understanding. And so for those, this report might be of some value to you. In any event, when you find yourself in national captivity, or you find yourself starving, or you find yourself, you know, in the middle of a war, you'll know why. You know, what was it that caused this great calamity to come upon me? It's your lifestyle. That's what's causing it. You want to know why the United States is in debt? It's our lifestyle. You want to know why we have pedophiles running around in our churches, preying upon our children? It's our lifestyle. It's what we want. It's our religion. Now, after all of this pedophilia and all of this, all of these sodomites in the Catholic Church up in Boston, you know, and they admitted that one-third of their clergy now are sodomites or pedophiles. I have never heard of one single Catholic that has abandoned Catholicism and said, well, I'm going to go do something different. I imagine there are 5 or 10 that probably did, but I haven't met them. People don't quit their religious ideologies over something as trivial as pedophiles and sodomy. That doesn't enter into people's thinking. Now, I would contend that it ought to, but it doesn't. Now, God is this God. I'm not talking about every God or your God or somebody else's God. I'm just talking this God, this unknown God here. He's got a little different take on things. You can see that by just reading this. You know, this guy's got a different feel for the world and politics and so on. And so he comes along in chapter 17, and he describes religion. Now, let's listen to this and see what you think of this. He starts off, he says, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and he talked with me. And he said, come to me, come hither. I'll show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. Verse 15, he says unto me, the waters which you saw, where the whore sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. All right, so this whore, and this word water, is code-pleated out in verse 15 of this same chapter. Right, now, that's the second time we've seen that. Sometimes, right here in this chapter, you'll see the definition for this word. Now, see, the code word is waters, sits upon many waters, and the code is in verse 15, and it says unto me, he said unto me, the waters which you saw in verse 1, which you saw where the whore sits, are people, multitudes, and nations and tongues. Hey, this church covers multitudes of people in many nations and many languages. And we're not talking about Jimmy Swaggart down here in Louisiana. We're talking about a big-time outfit here. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Okay, let's think about that. Can you think of a church, a big religious organization that the kings of the earth have committed fornication with, have had intimate relationships, exchanged ambassadors with the Vatican? I'm going to give you the answer, because I've already code-plated out. But I'm going to tell you it's the Catholic Church. And since Charlemagne's times, the kings of the earth, including Queen Elizabeth and Prince Charles, and I don't know if George Bush has, but many American presidents have gone over to kiss the Pope's ring, gone over to be pontificated upon. Now that's called practicing fornication with the kings of the earth. But there's more to it. Listen to this. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Boys and girls, when a third of your clergy are practicing homosexuals and pedophiles, describe for me, please, an abomination greater than that. What do you think it is? Well, whatever this outfit is, it's filled with that kind of filthiness. And upon her forehead was a name written. It says, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. The mother of harlots and abomination. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Hey, verse 6 kind of tells you a little bit. Can you name a big institution like the Catholic Church that has been made drunk with the blood of the saints for hundreds and thousands of years, burning people to death in barns to save their souls from hell? Mull that one over for a minute. Verse 7. The angel said to me, wherefore did you marvel? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, the average Joe Sixpack on the street, I mean, the average Episcopalian, or the average Catholic, or Protestant, or Jew, when he sees this, he'll marvel. He won't understand it, but he'll marvel at it. Verse 9, he says, and here is the mind which has wisdom. Remember, Daniel said, those that are wise will understand, and those that aren't won't. That's Daniel 12. He said, you remember, the angel said to him, he said, now you seal this up till the time of the end. He said, the wise will understand, but the rest won't. What we're trying to do is be the wise guys here. So the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now, a mountain is a code word for a nation or a government. So this church now is sitting on, or guiding, or directing these seven nations. And there were seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet to come. Or the other is not yet come. He's yet to come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. All right. Now, remember these seven churches? Well, if we go through history from the Roman Empire, you know, we add up these empires, the Babylonian Empire, the Roman Empire. I'm not going to get into all the nitty-gritty of the empires. You know, there's a lot of material written, and there's a lot of code pleading for you to do. Remember, the scripture tells you, study to show yourself approved. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. You got some work to do, kids. You got some work to do. If you need a little help along that line, we publish a book here called the Mosaic Law. We publish the books with the 90 common doctrines, you know, 90 things that people do, like birthdays and Christmas, Easter, New Year's, and so on like that, so that you can see these pagan customs and practices, and if you so desire, you can quit doing them. And then there's some things to replace it with. You know, you replace Christmas with the Feast of Tabernacles. You replace Easter with the Passover, things like that. Now, most people don't want to do that, and they are not going to do that. Well, okay, that's a choice for you to make, and when you make that choice, and then there's going to be a result. There's going to be consequences that derive from it. So remember these plagues that we just saw over here in Revelation 6, these diseases? Diseases are caused by what? It's your lifestyle. You decide that you're going to eat at McDonald's. You decide that you're going to eat white flour. There's nobody pointing a gun at your head and saying to you, hey, listen, partner, you eat this Winchell's donut or I'm going to blow your brains all over the restaurant. No, nobody's done that to you. Those Winchell donuts taste real good, and so does that Coca-Cola, and I never denied it. And I reported to you that the consumption of soda pop has gone up in this country by double in 20 years, and so has diabetes. It's a cause and effect relationship. So when this happens, when you get diabetes, you should know why. Sucking Cokes and eating Winchell's is going to do it to you. And the same thing is true here as we go through wars and rumors of wars and these various other prophecies and all these plagues and seals and woes that we see in the book of Revelation. Cause and effect relationship. Your kid got killed over in Iraq. Hell, he volunteered. He wanted to get killed. He wanted to serve Baal. Worshipping the United States of America, joining the United States Army, and serving in Iraq is Baal worship. It's a choice that you make. The penalty, by the way, for this form of idolatry is death. And so a lot of times people die from it. It's the way the cookie crumbles. It's the way the ball bounces. I don't make it that way, I just report on it. Now, this international geopolitical system that we see in place today is guided by the Roman Catholic Church. They've got a billion members. The Catholics alone claim they got a billion members, which includes nearly all the people of South America and Latin America. 65 million Americans are Catholics. I think more than half, or around half, I shouldn't say more, but you know, around half the people of Europe are Catholics. And, of course, they've got Catholic enclaves in Africa and all around the world. And, you know, people believe in Catholicism. But then, you know, boys and girls, people have believed in the Babylonian mystery religion going clear back to the Babylonian Empire. I'm not denying that. It's the popular way to go. This God here, this unknown God, the God of Abraham, he's about as popular as AIDS at an office Christmas party. Nobody wants to practice this. You saw how popular Jesus was when they took him out and killed him. No, this isn't a popular program here. And I doubt that it's ever going to be a popular program. In fact, the people who subscribe to this program, we saw in Revelation 2 and 3, said, you know, you're going to be put to death for this. You didn't hear that on Katie Couric or Brian Williams. They don't report to you that you've got enemies out there. They report to you about all the peace that's going on in the world. They're telling you about all of the trade deals that you got with the Chinese. Well, children, when were the Russians and Chinese your friends? When did that magic appear? I tell you, boys and girls, the Chinese and the Russians are biding their time until you become so weak, so drunk with the wine of your fornication, with your religious ideologies, that they can smash you like a bug. And the only friend you got is your God, and he's the only one that told you, better watch out. These guys aren't your friends. They're going to hurt you. Well, you know, when you're at the party and you're drunk, and somebody comes up to you and says, hey, these aren't your friends here, and they're going to hurt you, you can listen to that. Especially when you got that beautiful blonde, you know, in one arm, and you're drunk out of your mind, and partying it up and having a good time, kind of like spring break in Daytona Beach. Huh? All right, let's go on here a little bit further. It says, now the angel said to me, wherefore didst you marvel? And I'm going to tell you the mystery of this woman. This chapter is telling you the mystery. And this identity of these kings over here is coming up. And he says, now there's going to be some tough times over here. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goes into perdition. It's talking about these eight world ruling empires. And there is a big world ruling empire on the scene today. What is it? It's the United States of America. Yeah, I think that eighth beast is the United States of America. And we're about to go down. Just about to be taken out. And watch what happens. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now, an hour is a short period of time. A day is a year. An hour is going to be a short period. These have one mind and shall give their power and their strength unto the beast. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called the chosen and faithful. Hey, listen, when the Messiah returns in the second coming, do you think everybody's going to say, oh, praise Jesus, he's here? No, that scripture there tells you that they're going to be fighting him at his coming. When he comes back, he's going to come back as a conquering king. The nations of the world will be fighting him at the Battle of Armageddon. Remember that story of Armageddon, Armageddon? There's going to be one whale of a bloodbath. That's why I try to stay as far away from Palestine as I can get. And I figured Isabella, Missouri is just about as far away from the Valley of Megiddo as I can get here on planet Earth. Hell, I ought to be thinking about moving to Mars. But there's a little bit more to the story. And he said unto me, the waters which you saw, where the whore sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, and the ten horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. All right, let me describe that one for you. There's going to come a bloodbath on planet Earth. And the people who call themselves Christians are going to be put to the sword. And the people who are going to do that are people that don't think that they're going to do it, but these are the guys that are going to do it. The animosity between the Jews and the Christians are going to come to fruition. And everybody that calls himself a Christian is going to be put to the sword. And the Christians will love it. See, they'll think that they're being martyred for Jesus. Got that? They're being punished because they won't practice the law. And they'll believe that they're being martyred for Jesus. And these same Christians support Israel today, the Jews that are not Jews. Remember that? The people who claim to be Jews are Edomites. They're not descended from Judah at all. No. Who told you that? It wasn't George Gordon. Hell, I didn't know that. It was Jesus. You know, the guy that stripped off the seven seals in Revelation 1. And he said, let me reveal this to you. And he said twice in Revelation 2, 9, and 3, 9. He said, there are people out there calling themselves Jews. About 15 million of them around the world, maybe 20. 15, 20 million Jews. Those 15 or 20 million, they can't control the world without the aid and the help and the military power of the Christians. So you got 70 million Christian evangelicals here in the United States that support Israel. The United States supports Israel. Well, it's a lying deception. And now the Arabs are sitting over there saying, well, why would you guys want to support those Edomites over there? See, the Arabs know who the Jews are. Yeah, they know. In fact, the Arabs know who they are. It's the Christian Americans and Canadians and Australians that don't know what your roots are. You people don't know that you're descended from the 10 tribes of Israel that have been lost. The Arabs do. Queen Elizabeth does. So there's a lot of deception. And remember, when we saw here in the book of Revelation already, we saw deception. Remember Revelation 12:9. Satan has deceived the whole world. The Jews are deceived. The Catholics are deceived. You and I have been deceived. Now, if you want to come out from deception, then the solution to that problem is that you've got to understand, hey, I've been deceived. Time for me to go get re-educated. And the only guy that can re-educate you is going to be God himself. And the only people that can be re-educated are those that obey God and keep his commandments. And the churches can't obey God and keep his commandments because they hate God and they won't keep his commandments and they teach against him. And the first commandment that they teach you to violate is the Sabbath commandment. That's why everybody worships the sun and keeps Sunday. Sunday is the Sunday, the venerable day of the sun. Sun worship. And sun worshipers keep the Sabbath on Sunday. It's just that simple. It's no big mystery. All right, now with that little bit behind us over there, I'm kind of running out of time. That's the end of chapter 17. Now chapter 18, we'll take it up right here next time on chapter 18. In verse 4, tells us a part of the story. It says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Well, that's a mouthful. Hey, you don't need any code to understand that. Come out of her, my people. Come out of what? Come out of Roman Catholicism. Come out of Protestantism. Come out of Judaism. Come out of Muslimism. Come out of communism. All of these ideologies that we subscribe to here on planet Earth are leading us into conflict and conflagration. Christianity is at war with the Muslims. The United States of America is at war with the Iraqis and with the Afghanis. The United States of America is about to go to war with the Chinese and the Russians. So God is now giving you an opportunity. He says, hey, listen, hey, kids, wake up, pay attention here. It's time for you to come out of all of that crap and pay attention to me for a change. And if you do, I'll save you out of this. And this takes us back to Revelation chapter 3, the Philadelphia group. He says, you know, you people have the commandments. You people obey me, keep my commandments, and I'll protect you. And I said to you, that's the game that you want to join up with. Now, if you want to participate in the other six, hey, that's fine. Get after it. Most people are going to. And when it's all said and done, 10% of the people on planet Earth will be left alive, and 90% will be dead, past tense. So when you end up dead, take the end of the world for you. You're not going to hell. You're not going to burn up in the hellfire for all eternity. You're coming up in the general resurrection in Isaiah 65:17. Take a look at that one. Go to Isaiah 65, the great white throne judgment. That's where you're coming up next. So if you can't make the first resurrection, well, partner, maybe I'll see you in the second. Now, if you really get uppity in the second resurrection and you give God the finger the second time and you say, now listen, you know, I'm not going to do this, then God's got a solution for you. If you can't live by the Ten Commandments, if you can't live by thou shalt not steal and thou shalt do no murder and thou shalt not commit adultery, if you just can't follow that, there is a solution for people like you, and that's called the lake of fire. And you will be burned up, destroyed, not tortured for all of eternity, just put out of your misery. That's what you do to a dog or a cat or a horse or a cow. You put them out of their misery. That's the final solution. As old Adolf Hitler would say, the final solution is we'll put them out of their misery. All right, I'm about out of time here, kids. We'll be back with the finale to the Book of Revelation next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. But let me remind you that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard daily worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. For more information, go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. Of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good night, friends.